I'm going to be talking about rewards and the overcomers' rewards. Well, you know, because those are also the different kinds of rewards. You might think, well, why do we say rewards and then overcomers' rewards? Isn't that really the same thing? Well, there are different kinds of rewards that God mentions throughout the Bible, and we're going to cover them all. But first, I need to define or try to define what a reward is. A reward can be some kind of a recompense that people give for worthy acts, good deeds, achievements, etc. It can also be some kind of retribution for wrongdoing. And there's reward for good, there's reward for evil. You know, it's all over the Bible. And we're going to bring it out today. But I want to focus on the good rewards, or rewards for good works. We've been talking about good works. We've been talking about, you know, making the sacrifice for the Lord. And the things, you know, yesterday it was about that, you know, your cross is about making sacrifice. You can't serve God only when it's convenient. You know, I mean, if everything's good and that's the only time, no. We, you know, sometimes it's painful, the things that we have to do for the Lord. And woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Amos 6:1. I mean, if everything has to be convenient before we can do something for the Lord, then we may not get some of these rewards that we're about to talk about today. But there are different kinds of rewards. There are even, you know, there are immediate rewards, short-term rewards, long-term rewards, and even eternal rewards. And, there are some rewards that, you know, when we talk about immediate rewards, sometimes immediate rewards are not always there. And that causes people to either continue to do evil because the evil works are not immediately, there's no immediate retribution against their evil works sometimes. So people perpetrate that. And, you know, people who are doing good work, sometimes they may also give up or lose interest because there is no immediate reward for the good works they do. I mean, if you have to get up early in the morning, you know, to go to work and spend few hours there, you know that at the end of 2 weeks or whatever, you're going to collect a paycheck. You know, so that's a kind of reward system, and people look forward to that. You know, but if you were working and there was no mention of pay, you don't know when you're going to get paid. You know, they don't pay you during the cycle. I mean, at the end of the pay cycle, like they should, whatever, nobody's going to last on that job. People are going to quit and go elsewhere. There are, you know, so these things are baked into our systems, even from a little child. When they are small, we use reward systems, you know, to encourage them. There, you know, there's what they call positive reinforcement and things like that. And you give, you know, a promise of reward may even encourage little children, right? From the time that they are small, we use these methods to engage them, you know. I mean, you say, look, you're a little child, you know, you're good, you do this. And when they do good, you know, even the little kids, they give them a smiling face. They give them a star, you know, they give them a little treat and so forth. And they're excited, you know, and they, you know, they want to get that reward. So they are, you know, they want to do the thing to get that reward, you know. And if you say, look, if you do this thing, I'm going to give you this thing. I mean, if they understand the reward. So that's part of the thing I'm going to be talking about today, understanding the reward system. Because, you know, a reward is no good or a promised reward. Let me put it that way. A promised reward is no good if somebody doesn't understand it or appreciate it. You know, so it's not going to mean anything to them. But let me say this right now. Let me just drop this right now, because this is serious business that we're talking about here this morning. If someone can no longer be motivated for good by the promise of good rewards, or, you know, the fear of retribution for bad works or committing evil is no longer present, then it's going to take an act of God to change that person. Let me say that again. A person is lost if, you know, the promise of reward for good does not motivate them, and retribution or punishment for evil does not prevent them from wanting to do evil. When a person is in that state, they are lost. It's unfortunate, but they are lost. You know, people who perpetrate evil, there is no consequence. There's no fear of consequence in their heart. You know, when if you're here in the United States and watching the news over the last several weeks, it's been one thing or the other. You know, people who just take a gun and go and shoot up the place, maybe the place where they worked, and they have some grievance with somebody or something, or go shoot up some place and things like that. When there is no fear of retribution in their heart, and they're lost. You know, so reward can be two kinds. So there's the reward that can motivate us to do good. There's a promise for that. There are many promises for that. I'll be talking about that. There is also retribution of evil. I mean, against evil. Like, you know, it's supposed to be a deterrent. You know, I know that, you know, many of us from old school, when we were growing up, the fear of punishment, you know, kept us from even attempting the wrong thing. Not so much these days. People don't care, you know, these days. But in the olden days, you know, just the fear of getting into trouble kept you from trouble. And this is the kind of thing that parents should imbibe into their children when they are young. You know, the good and the evil and consequences of either one. You know, so when we do good, there's reward system for that. When we do evil, there's reward system. So these things, you know, we grow up around these things. And it's also in the Bible too. I mean, this is a fundamental thing, but why is it so important? Because we were talking just yesterday about bearing your cross. And there is reward for that journey. Some of it is immediate. Some of it is short term. Some of it is long term. Some of it may even be eternal. And so we're going to cover all of that today. I'm just laying conditions. I mean, a background for this. For some rewards, you know, you also have to pay a price for it before you can get a reward. So there are two words that sound the same. Price and prize, right? Price, spelled with a C, as in church or Christ, P-R-I-C-E, that's one word. Another word's called prize, you know, sounds almost the same, but it's spelled with a Z for zebra, P-R-I-Z-E. Some people call it Z in some other parts of the world. So the prize with the one with the C is, you know, the effort, the work, and all of that that you have to do. You know, it's like, you know, you got to put in the work, you know, not to get the prize with a Z. You got to put in, you got to pay the price with a C in order to get the prize with a Z. So we covered that yesterday. the, all the, you know, the, you know, doing the, what might be painful things in order to do the will of God for your life. Getting, you know, out of your comfort zone to serve the Lord and do the things He has called you to do. And those things are the price that you are paying. It's also called a price for the high calling of God. Well, you know, if you think that you are in that high calling, then that's a price. And we have to pay. Jesus talked about it. He said, if you want to, if a man come after me, first must deny himself. That's number one. And then he must take up his cross daily. That's number two. And then follow me. This is number three. So there's a price to be paid. And we talked about that yesterday. Today we're going to talk about the prize with a Z. The rewards that you get for doing the things that God commanded us. So let's go. And I will be highlighting these various rewards throughout the Bible. From the beginning, from Genesis, God's been talking about rewards. He talked about it in Genesis 15 and verse 1. He talked about in Revelation 22 verses 12 and 13. I mean, so the whole spectrum of the Bible, and there's places all through the Bible that talks about rewards. As a matter of fact, anytime you see a promise that is conditional in the Bible, another way of looking at it is that it carries a reward. When the Lord says, if my people, for instance, 2 Corinthians 7 and 14, that are called by my name shall do what? Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now, that's a promise that's loaded with a bunch of ifs. All the things you got to do. You know how to get that promise at the end. But you can also look at that promise as a reward for doing those things. So every single promise in the Bible that carries a condition, you can look at that promise at the end of fulfilling that condition as though it were a reward for doing the thing. You know, Exodus 15 and 26, which we all love to talk about, you know, I'm the Lord, I healed thee, and so on. You know, it carries a bunch of things that they have to do. There's about four different things that he calls out first that they must do there in order to get that promise at the end. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, that's number one, and will do that which is right in his sight, that's number two, and give ear to his commandments, that's number three, and keep all his statutes, that's number four, then I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So you see, the promise of I am the Lord that healeth thee comes after all these conditions. If you do this, and if you do that, and if you do the other, and yet you do the other, then I will do this. You know, so when we look at those promises, they are actually also some kind of reward. Reward for doing all those ifs. If you do all those things, then you get this reward. You know, so every time you look at a promise from now on, look at it as a reward system. A promise in the Word of God that carries a condition, one or more conditions of things that you got to do, look at it also as a reward system. And the Bible is full of it. I mean, so, in fact, I can teach on this subject for days because there's so many, every promise in the Bible, most promises carry some kind of condition. You know, if ye abide in me, John chapter 15 and verse 7, it's a big if, and my words abide in you, then you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, it looks like a promise, and it is a promise. But it also is there's also a hidden reward system in there. Which means, if you do these things, if you abide in him and keep his words and let his word abide in you, then there is a reward. So that promise can even be viewed as a reward. And I can go on and on and on. Those are just examples, you know, but it's just, you know, the Bible is replete with these examples. So take a closer look or a fresh look at any of these promises in the Bible. You will find that you may actually see them as a reward system. Reward for doing the conditions, for keeping those conditions. And then there's a reward that comes after that. We've always looked at them as promises, but yeah, they're promises, but they're also rewards. When a parent promises a child, well, if you do this, you know, you keep your room clean, then you get to go to the mall on the weekend, and you get to go and play or sleep over or whatever it is that they are trying to, you know, asking to do. We make them do certain things in order to earn that privilege. Well, I mean, we say we're going to do that if they do that. It looks like a promise, but it's a reward system. You know, if they do the thing, then we give them the thing that they are asking for, you know, and so on and so forth. So Genesis 15 and 1, you know, perhaps one of the great, actually, I don't think it's perhaps, the greatest reward in that Bible is in that verse. And I talked about it about three or so rooms, I mean, mornings ago, I forget, when we did the Lord, he said, when he said, I am thy shield, an exceeding great reward. And you should listen to that replay if you missed it. The biggest reward right off the bat from the book of Genesis that God can give to anybody is himself. You know, and in that short verse, when he talked to Abram, he promised Abram himself, I am thy exceeding great reward, as opposed to I will give you an exceeding great. No, not giving you anything, giving you himself. He promised you himself as your reward. I mean, that is the greatest reward that we can get in that Bible. So we've covered that extensively, what that really means, and the impact that that should have had, you know, on anybody, even Abraham, and all of that. So anyway, right there we see that. And then there's little rewards. You know, I'll come back to these huge, great rewards in a minute. But there's just little rewards. Little, but very powerful. They can be powerful motivators, you know, for doing good. And also the rewards, remember I talked about, you know, the rewards for both good and evil. Reward for evil may be called punishment or retribution on this. And sometimes we try to take those into our own hands. And the Lord has cautioned us not to do that. Do not recompense evil for evil. Do not try to take judgment into your own hands. Judgment is mine. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't recompense evil for evil. Just because somebody did something to you, then you're going to do something to them. We covered this even just yesterday when we talk about bearing your cross. You know, it's hard to not try to get them back and give them a piece of your mind. But that's part of the cross. Jesus calls you to bear, or denying yourself, you know, denying the flesh of what the flesh wants to do. So we talk about that. So let's look at some of the rewards that Jesus talks about in this Bible. There's so many. I don't know how much of it I can get to, because, I mean, this is a subject that you can teach on for a whole week. You know, I mean, I can do this 2 hours every day for a straight 1 week, and I still won't exhaust this topic. It is like just a well. You keep digging into it. You keep digging into it. You know. But the good rewards should provoke us to good works. You know, and some of the bad rewards or rewards for bad works should be a deterrent from wrongdoing. So, and like I said before, I'll say it again, if somebody is not motivated by the promise and the reward for good, you know, to motivate them to do good. And, you know, they have no consciousness in their mind to deter them from evil because of the retribution or the recompense for the punishment for evil. If there is no fear in their heart for punishment for evil, and there's no motivation in their heart to, you know, to do good because of reward for good, then they are lost. That's the definition of being lost. And only God can break that vicious cycle. It's programmed into us, you know, to be able to respond to these things. You have to respond to these things. So, because that's throughout the Bible, that's the way it is. But when a person can no longer respond to the, either the good or the, you know, the retribution that may follow if you do wrongdoing, then they're in trouble. People, you know, people who just break the law today, you know, blatantly and stuff like that. Even the laws of the land. They have no consideration in their mind for retribution that may follow, which was intended to be a deterrent, you know, and so on. So this is a very serious subject. But let's look at some rewards and the motivation that we should do. I want to talk mostly about the good rewards today. You know, I brought the two sides just for us to know. Look, in any spectrum, you know, the spectrum, even this reward system, look at it as a spectrum. There is a, on the one side, on the far end of the spectrum, you may call it the left, there is the death, darkness, and destruction, and punishment, and all of that. On the other side, there is life, there is righteousness, there is, you know, light, and so on. And if you read three straight chapters in the book of Deuteronomy, 28, 29, and 30, many of us, you know, are familiar with reading 28, the first few verses, the first 14 verses or so of chapter 28 talks about all the blessings that you can get if you do the right things. Then the last half of that talks about all the judgment and curses. He even calls it that will come upon them if they don't do the right thing, you know. But don't stop there. Read some of the other, you know, read, you know, the next chapter and the next chapter. And you will see all some of the things, incredible things that the Lord, you know, spoke by the mouth of Moses to the children of Israel. Way back then, you know, so, but you have to read them all. There are many promises, you know, that he said about, you know, for them, the reason why they should do these things and what will come unto them if they do it right and what might, you know, befall them if they do it wrong. And so he, you know, laid it all out. But let me just read a couple of verses. Here, you know, I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 30. At the end of saying all those things, here's what he said. This is the spectrum that I was talking about. He said in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15, see, I have said before this today, life and good is on one side and death and evil is on the other side. So that's the spectrum, you know, and he said, look, and he's encouraging them to choose the life and the good rather than the death and the evil. And there are many blessings for us to do that. You know, and there are many blessings why, I mean that, you know, all the promises and so forth, you know, there are in the two preceding chapters. I mean, chapter 28, 29, all of that. It talks about all that, you know, and I want us to know that anytime, you know, that God gives us and lays choice out for us, like they laid out for them here, you know, if we follow the path, we're going to make a choice, you know, if we follow a path. This one was a binary choice. there's no gray area. It's binary. If you either do this and then you get this, or you do that and you get that. You know, so the Lord will give us, anytime He lays this out for us like that, He will also even encourage us to give, you know, to do what we can do in order to get the reward that is promised for the good. He encourages that. Even when we get to overcomers' rewards, you'll see, you know, how He encouraged them to do all those things now to get that. You know, so, but let me stop here for a minute and let's think about what we are talking about. Because I want this to soak in. You know, this is so, it's such a deep subject, you know, that we need to understand it fully. It's very, very deep. So take a minute and think about, why are we talking about that? You know, why are we talking about this? Well, we're talking about this for, especially if you consider the good and the life side of the spectrum, to give us motivation. Galatians 6 and 9 says, look, continue in well-doing and don't give up. There is a reward system at the end of it if you faint not. You know, in due season, you will reap the reward. Well, sometimes it's not forthcoming easily, you know, so people, you know, get discouraged. You may get discouraged if you do not think that there is a blessing coming. You know, so we want to make sure that people know that there is, these blessings are coming. The blessings are coming right now. Some of them that we'll be talking about now, some of them are coming a little bit later. Some of them are coming, a little while later. And some are even eternal blessings that are promised. So let me read. I was about to go, but the Lord's telling me to go back and read this portion again. I want to read a few more verses in this, Deuteronomy 30. Lord just reminded me to read 20. I want to read verse 20. Now, I call heaven and earth to record to you again, this day. I start at verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Now, that's serious business. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And this is where it's encouraging. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him. Listen to this. For He is thy life and the length of thy days. Not that He will give you life or give you length of days. No. He Himself is your very life. And He Himself is your very length of days. Almost like what He told Abraham. I am your exceeding great reward. The Lord is your life. He is your length of days. But all of that happens because you have chosen Him and you are following after Him to obey His voice, and you have chosen to cleave unto Him. So the Lord wanted me to go back and read that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right. So now that we know that, let's take a look at some of these incredible promises. Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to bounce back and forth between the Old and New Testament, you know, but I'm going to stay a lot in the New Testament today. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Powerful, powerful promises here as we go through this. So you stay right here with me. And don't leave, because you need to hear this. We all need to hear this. So Colossians 3 and 23. and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. Whatever you do, whatever. I mean, that covers all aspects of our life. When you are in marriage, do it as unto the Lord and not as unto just your spouse. You know, because sometimes, you know, you may feel like you shouldn't do it, but do it as unto the Lord. When you are in the marketplace or you're working for somebody else, do it as unto the Lord. When you're in the ministry or whatever, do it as unto the Lord. Why? Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, because you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall also receive the wrong for the wrong that he doeth, and there's no respect of persons. So again, you see the both sides of the reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going through this now very quickly. Verses 8 to 15. We covered this the other day as well. You know, what happens when, after we come into that place of being into the family of God, we're built on the foundation and we're commanded to build, you know, to take care how we put, what kind of works we are building thereupon. It says, look, be careful now how you build. I, as a master builder, have laid the foundation. No foundation can anybody lay other than that which is laid, which is Christ. And then after that, you can build whatever you want, but be careful now. If you build precious stones, gold, silver, and all that, you know, that's one side of the reward system. That thing will be tried by fire, you know, but it'll endure. We covered this the other day. And then if you build hay, wood, and stubble, that one is going to be burnt. And the, you know, that person is going to suffer loss. And that's going to be really sad, you know, because they will get no reward. You know, so, but here's what it says. If any man's work abide that he had built thereupon, verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 3, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burnt, he shall suffer loss. So we cover that. Matthew 16. We covered this yesterday when we were talking about bearing your cross. But in Matthew 16, the text we read yesterday started from verse 24. But I want to read just one verse today, which will be in verse 27. The Lord, you know, again, many of these promises. You know, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, this one is a delayed reward system. You know, we talked about different kinds of rewards. It was that happen now, it was that happen later. This one is a delayed reward. You know, because it's talking about, you know, if you do all of these things and you carry your cross and you follow the Lord and do all these things, say that the Son of God will come, the glory of his Father with his angels. So that's delayed. That's not now. But that's a delay, you know, because you have to endure to the end in order for you to get this particular reward. It doesn't come right away, but it will be there because he promised it, and everything he promised will be there, you know. So, and I'm going to go now to talk about, you know, some rewards that we get immediately, other rewards that are short term, and some rewards that are long term, and the reward that is even eternal. Isaiah 40 and verse 10. Behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is him, and his work is before him. This is almost the same as what he said in Revelation 22 verse 12. You know, so the Lord promised many things, even for us to look forward to. And let's, you know, let's all remember these promises. You know, some of them are given for us right now. A lot of them are for later. You know, now here is a promise that the Lord actually gave again for us about his coming. You know, many of these promises, I'm talking about when he comes now. You know, this also in Isaiah chapter 62 verse 11, he talks about it. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. That's the Lord. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. Same thing as he said in chapter 40 and verse 11. And also fast forward to Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. But let's look at some other rewards that are even more immediate. You know, there are some rewards that are more immediate. Now, Jesus, when he was teaching, you know, the so-called Sermon on the Mount, he mentioned many things. He, you know, gave some instructions, but inside those instructions, there are also rewards. You know, so let's pull out some of those rewards that are there. You may not have thought about it that way, but they are there. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, he begins to talk about, you know, how when we give alms, when we pray, when we fast, and so on. And I want to bring out a very valuable point here. Jesus said, when you do your giving, don't do it before men to be seen of men, because otherwise you will have no reward. So listen to this. I want to bring out three areas here that Jesus said, if you receive reward of men, you cannot receive it of God. So you can't get it. You know, this is a particular situation in which if you are rewarded by men, Jesus said you won't get it from God. So let's look at those kind of rewards and those scenarios. If you do your alms before men, every time you give, you sound a trumpet before you. You know, that's what Jesus said. He said, look, you know, these hypocrites, they sound a trumpet before them, you know, and all in the synagogues and the streets, you know, when they give a donation, they make a big check, take a big picture of it, show it, you know, they announce it. Everybody say, yeah, this person gave this and this person gave that and all of that. They call out their names and they do all these things. But the traditional church system still today, they're still doing that. So when you do that, Jesus said, look, you have your reward. And they have their reward. So once you got your reward in that situation, you're not going to get it again. So you have no reward from your father because you already got it. So that's one area. He talked about even, you know, he said, look, do your alms in secret. So yeah, your father who seeth you in secret himself will reward you openly. That's Matthew chapter 6 and verse 4. Then he goes on and talks about prayer. Prayer, he said, look, hypocrites, how do they like to pray? Stand in the synagogues and in the corners blasting so everybody can know that they know how to pray. Hey, shout, Father, this and that. They do all of these things, you know, to draw attention to themselves. Now, I'm not talking about, and I'm not knocking prayer meetings. You know, prayer meetings are prayer meetings. You know, you can groan in the spirit. You can pray. You can call upon the Father, you know, and all of that. But this is just talking about, you know, what's in the heart of people when they are showing off that they know how to pray. They make long prayers. You know, they carry on in speaking in tongues and all these things just to show that they know how to pray. Well, Jesus said, well, you do it to be seen of men. That's the key thing. If they are doing it to be seen of, they're not doing it to be seen of, they're just doing it. The Holy Ghost is moving you to do it. It's great. You know, but if you're doing it to be seen of men, then Jesus said, verily, they have their reward. So that's another reward. You got your reward because people praise you. You say, that brother can pray. That sister, man, she's fire. You know, so now you already got your reward. And that's it. There is no other reward for that prayer because you got that reward. You know, so, and if that goes with anything else we do, you say, man, that man of God, he can really preach. You know, then you got your reward. You know, so when we look for those accolades from men, well, that's a reward system, but that reward system is very temporal. Jesus said, we got your reward. But to get a good reward from the Father, he said, look, enter into your closet. Don't, you know, show off and all that. That doesn't mean that every time we pray, we have to run into the closet. That's not what I'm talking about. He's just making a comparison here that if you are not looking to be seen, did you know that Jesus, people, you know, the disciples never saw him pray, you know, most of the time. because he would wake up early and go into the mountain and be praying. They didn't know how he prayed. So they would go up to him, look, tell us, if Jesus had been standing in their midst praying and so forth, they wouldn't be asking him to teach us how to pray, because they would have figured out, how does he pray? So because he was never praying in their presence, he would go way out into the bush or in the wilderness or somewhere in the mountain, way before daybreak, when others are still asleep, he would be praying. So they come to him and say, Master, teach us how to pray. You know, because they didn't know how he was praying. You know, so, and Jesus taught them to pray. He said, but if you pray like that, not to be seen of men, your Father will see at you in secret, will reward you openly. Now, this is not a reward for heaven. This is a reward for here. These things are rewards for here. You know, so, and, you know, so many other rewards like that that we can get for here. There are some parables that Jesus told, you know, in Matthew chapter 25. Powerful, powerful parables. Many of them have secrets of rewards embedded in those stories, which we want to take a quick look at as we cover these reward systems that we're talking about. Remember, the topic today is rewards and the overcomer's reward. I'm saving the overcomer's rewards for last, because those are a different class, a different category of rewards. They're still rewards, but they are different. Matthew 25. Let's read verses 21 and 23, and I'll just skip through and read some of these things. You know, in this place, the system that Jesus is talking about here, you know, this parable of the talents and so forth. There was a reward for doing, you know, being faithful with the talent that Jesus gave in this parable. He told the story. So we've covered this before. The one that received the five, the one that received the two, and all of that. They got reward. What was the reward they got? You know, say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's in verse 21, you know, and that's in verse 23 for the ones that did well. You know, and unfortunately, you know, for the one that didn't do well either, that went and hid his talent because he was comparing himself with others, there was also a reward for him, but it wasn't good news. You know, that one, you can see that one in verse 26. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, that at my coming I should have received mine with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, give it to them which, you know, which hath, and so forth. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. So, yeah, that did not end very well for that. So we see some reward system there for even doing, you know, doing and being faithful. And we covered this at great length, I think, yesterday. For being faithful to the calling that God called you for. Whatever it is that he put in your hand to do, according to their several ability. That's what we are told in the Bible that he gave them. That's how he divided up those talents according to their several ability. You know, there is also even reward for persecution. Say, blessed are ye, Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now that falsely part is key. You know, because the scriptures say, let no man suffer as an evildoer. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. You know, so Jesus said, if they speak evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now that one also is a reward in heaven. You know, because you have to persevere till the end. You know, your reward will be great in heaven. And so you keep doing it. Great will be your reward in heaven. That particular one is promised, you know, for heaven. There are some people that were praying, and that we have example. There are two examples that I want to call out here. The people that serve God with prayers night and day, a few of them, and I'll just call out two examples, how they were rewarded. You know, there was a man called Simeon in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 26. In that same chapter, there's also a woman called Anna in verses 36 to 38. So let me call out their own reward here. It's a bit subtle, but it was powerful reward. In Luke chapter 2, you know, verse 25, this man, Simeon, who, I mean, been praying and serving the Lord with prayers and stuff like that, you know, he said, look, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was a just man waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was also revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ. Is that possible? Can God reveal things like that? Absolutely. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and this was something that he was used to doing, just waiting on the Lord, serving the Lord and all that. And one day, he was rewarded by seeing the Lord's Christ. And he said, wow. When their parents brought him in, you know, to do according to the custom of the law, presenting before the Lord and so forth, he took up the child from the parents and blessed God and said, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. And he began to prophesy, you know, salvation which you have prepared, you know, the light to light in the Gentiles, the glory of thy people Israel. People say, Joseph, they marry a marvel. This was a tremendous reward because he kept on keeping on. The Lord told him, you know, you will see the glory of the Lord before you pass on. And he kept on believing. And, you know, nobody knew when Christ was going to come, but this man kept on believing. And he was rewarded. He did see it. And you fast forward a little bit in that same chapter to verse 36. There was also one woman, and Anna was her name, a prophetess. She was the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. She had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. Now she was a widow of about, you know, 84 years. You know, widowed gone for many years. She departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. And she also coming in at that instant, she also beheld the Lord's Christ. So that was a tremendous reward for all those years of serving the Lord night and day in the temple, not knowing the day of the visitation like this, you know. But if she would have quit that prayer thing, or the prayer life, she would not have had this experience. But she kept doing it. And one day, you know, she was rewarded with that incredible encounter, you know, by seeing the salvation of the Lord with the Lord promised in Christ. What about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? Cornelius was a Roman centurion. He wasn't even what you might call a believer of sorts, but he did a lot of good works. And he gave alms. His own was even almsgiving. His own was not prayer. We've looked at reward for prayer and serving God with fasting in the temple day and night. Well, look at the reward of this man. His own was even giving alms. He was doing good deeds. You know, did a lot of good deeds for, you know, the children of Israel. You know, and so on and so forth. You know, the Bible says he was, you know, was a centurion. And the Holy Spirit sent an angel to him one day and said, you know, that the Lord had heard him. The angel of God said to Cornelius, you know, said, thy prayers, verse 4, and thy alms have come up for your memorial before God. And he told him what to do. And why? Because, well, he was praying, but he was also giving alms. And God looked at those things. And this man didn't know what he was praying about, evidently. He was just praying. He feared God, though. So, you know, he feared God and he just did whatever he can. But he did much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Okay, so that pray to God always. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, I said it was just about alms. No, it wasn't just about alms. He also prayed to God always. You can read that in verse 2. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. But, you know, he didn't really have, you know, all he needed to have. But the Lord had mercy on him. And when God gave him information to send to Peter came there, they received the Holy Ghost. So Peter was preaching to them. But this man was rewarded and his whole house because of how he lived his life in prayer and also in alms. There was a lady called Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. This lady, she did all kinds of good works, but then one day she died. And when she died, they called for Peter. And when Peter came, let's pick up this story in chapter 9 of Acts, verse 36. When Peter came, they told Peter all the things, you know, that, you know, this woman used to do. They said she was full of good works and all the alms deed that she did. Verse 36. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. The interpretation was Dorcas for that name. The woman was full of good works and alms deeds that she did. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. So they buried, you know, they were about to bury her. They washed her, put her in an upper chamber. And then they called for Peter. And when Peter came into the house, you know, in verse 39, they showed him all the good things that this woman used to do, making coats, you know, and so forth, and all the good works that she did, you know, and so forth. And then Peter prayed, and this woman was revived. A reward also for the good works that she did in her life. You know, let's look at what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we talked about this briefly yesterday. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Well, all these things that he did, there was a reward. He said, henceforth there is laid, God revealed this to him, you know, that there is laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearance. So there is a reward also for fighting the good fight, for keeping the faith and staying the course till the end. You can't jump ship in the middle and you can't quit on the Lord. You know, you must endure till the very end. And there's a reward for that. And there are many other rewards in this Bible that we can cover today. There's rewards for, you know, benevolence, just like we've been talking about here. You know, if you give to man and so forth in the name of the Lord, there is even reward for it, right? In the Old Testament, we there's scriptures there. In the New Testament, there's scriptures there. You know, let me just read, Psalm 40. Psalm 41, sorry. Let's read, the first two verses. And see what the Lord said. Even when you are doing, you know, just being kind to the poor and doing, you know, just doing some of these things to the poor, what does the Lord promise? Many scriptures bear this out. But let's just read this one, Psalm 41. And let's see the first couple of verses out of Psalm 41. What does it say? It says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. Just for considering the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Well, that's a promise, but it's also a reward for considering the poor. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. Well, that looks like a promise. It is a promise, but it's also a reward because he was helping the poor. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And the Lord said, that look, God will even deliver him, you know, He will not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. God will protect the person that is being kind to the poor. God will protect them. He will not allow their enemies to gloat over him. It looks like a promise. It is a promise, but it's also a reward. So it's a reward. So there's reward for benevolence. There's reward for doing these things before the Lord and so forth. You know, many such rewards. Let's look at a few others in the New Testament. And then I'm going to go on after that quickly to the overcomer's reward. I mean, those are so powerful. You know, now even when we do things for the Lord, you know, we do things in the name of the Lord. We give this, we give that, you know, and so forth. He that receiveth a prophet, in the name of a prophet, shall receive a prophet's reward. Matthew 10:41. He that receiveth a righteous man, in the name of the righteous man, shall receive a righteous man's reward. I mean, whosoever shall, you know, give drink to one of these little ones, or a cup of water, in the name of the disciples, verily I say unto you, shall not lose his reward. Matthew 10:41-42. So, even for benevolence, just for doing, you know, these things, you know, there are many blessings in the Word of God. Same kind of concept is brought out in Mark 9:41. He brings it out, you know, just like that as well. You know, so let's think about these things, and then let's look at even reward for suffering for Christ. Now, yesterday we said you have to do it even when it is painful. So that's the denying yourself part. But it doesn't go without a reward. There are rewards for it. Many wonderful rewards, as a matter of fact. You know. So let's look at 2 Timothy 2 and look at the way that the Holy Spirit brings it out here. It looks like a promise. You know, but it's also a reward. You know, he says, look, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. For 2 Timothy 2:12. Now, if we deny him, well, he will also deny us. Well, the if we suffer with him part and reign with him part, even though it's like a promise, it's also a reward. Reward for suffering with him. Well, that one is probably much later on. It's later on to reign with Christ. You know, but it's a reward, it's a promise, and it's a reward. So every time you look at these promises, you can also think of them even as rewards. I mean, let's look at 1 Peter 4. You know, also this, I'm talking about rewards for suffering for Christ now. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. That when his glory shall be revealed, well, you're also going to get some exceeding great joy. You know, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. And so on and so forth. But he told us here, let no one suffer as a murderer, as a thief, and all those things. So there are rewards for, you know, being a believer. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Well, because there is a reward system that God is bringing out of all these things. You know, there is a reward for faith and for patience. You must endure to the end. Matthew 24:13. He says, for that, you know, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You know, that's a reward. But you get the reward at the end. You know, you have to do these things. You cannot just, you know, you can't do it up to one point and then give up. No, you gotta keep doing it. And then at the end, you get the reward. Look at Hebrews 10:35. Doesn't it say also the same thing? You know, we must, you know, all through our lives, we must patiently, you know, endure. When we patiently endure, then there is a promise of reward at the end. For ye have need of patience. Hebrews 10:36. Well, let me start from 35. Cast not therefore away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We talked about this the other day. And so on and so forth. And there are promises of, you know, even for faith. We, you know, the chapter of faith in Hebrews 11 that we are all used to, it talks about, you know, how God rewards faith and rewards those that diligently seek Him. Now, that's a present reward. That's not just a reward for heaven. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. While you are seeking Him, He will reward you with whatever it is that you are seeking Him about. But you must stand the test of time. You know, don't give up, even if it looks like it might be a little delayed. We got to keep on believing. But there is a reward when we diligently seek Him like that. You know, He will eventually bring it to pass, what we are seeking the Lord for, you know. Now, how do we, even those who are running in a race, how do we receive the prize? Remember, I mentioned prize versus prize. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. Know you not that they are running a race, they run all, but only one of them received the prize. So run that you may obtain. Well, there is a reward, but first you got to pay that price. You know how to get that prize. You got to run the race in order to win the trophy. And even when you're running, you must run, you know, according to the rules. You might be disqualified along the way if you don't, keep the rules. You know, so, and he said, look, I run and I fight. I'm not beating the air. You know, I'm not shadow boxing. I'm tapped, you know, he fights tactfully and he knows what he's doing, you know, and we got to do that. You should listen to one of our rooms several weeks ago called The Rules of Engagement. You should listen to that. It's in the replays. You learn a lot of things about, you know, how not to beat the air, beat around the bush, how to fight tactfully, you know, and so, but if you do that, keeping your body under and all of that, it also has a reward system. Now, let me go to this. So we're at the bottom of the hour. Let me go to the rewards for soul winners. And then I'm going to come to rewards for the overcomer. Soul winners rewards. You know, Proverbs 11:30. We talked about it the other day. You know, he that winneth souls is wise. You know, winning souls. Now, is one thing. But winning souls also means, you know, you've learned the art of closing the deal. Now, it's God that will close the deal, really. But you learn the art of persuasion. You know, Paul, you know, Agrippa and all this, will say, thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Well, if you know the art and you can show them with gentle persuasion, you know, and you can close the deal and get them to, you know, turn their lives over from the kingdom of darkness to, you know, the kingdom of the Lord, and their eyes are opened through your ministration, then it's a powerful reward system. Because even the angels in heaven, want to make the angels happy? Well, get some souls saved. You know, turn people to righteousness, and the angels will be happy. You know, and there will be joy in heaven. You want to bring joy to heaven? Do some of that work. The more of it you do, my goodness, you know, the more that it shall be, you know. So, you know, he that winneth souls is wise in Proverbs 11:30. And what happens to the wise? Well, he says that they will shine. That's Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. You take these two scriptures together. He that winneth souls is wise, you know, and then you take Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, you know, the wise shall shine as the stars, you know. The soul winner is a star in God's book, you know. You want to be a star? You know, be a soul winner. You know, convert souls by the power of God, you know, speak, pray, do everything you can to bring people to the truth. And if the Lord grants it, and those people turn their lives to Christ on account of what you did, that's a tremendous reward. Now, you could be the one that planted the seed, or you could be the one that watered the seed, but God gives the increase. But if you are part of that process, one way or another, there is a tremendous reward, as God said, that you will shine in the firmament of God. You know, there's a reward for perseverance. You know, if we do not fall into temptation, when we are tempted and we stay through, there's a reward for that. James chapter 1, you know, verse 12 talks about that. You know, and now I'm going to go to the overcomer's reward. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Let me read that quickly. You know, for when he is tried, not does endure, but overcometh. And this will lead me into the overcomers. You know, when you endure and you overcome, he says, you shall receive a crown of life. That's James 1 and 12, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. But let me go to this overcomer's rewards, because this is the last segment of this. You know, and I'm wrapping this up quickly and just trying to, you know, just cramp many things into this lesson. Could go, you know, I could go on and on, but I want to finish it, you know, in the next few minutes. The overcomer's rewards. There's a special category of rewards. Something for us to really look forward to. Well, for you to get an overcomer's reward, you must overcome something. You know, so, I mean, that's just, you know, so, you know, that's just so straightforward. They are overcomer's rewards. So if you are not overcoming whatever it is that you're supposed to overcome, then you cannot get that reward for that thing. Those are laid out in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. When Jesus commanded, sent his angel to John to write these things to the seven churches that were in Asia Minor at the time. You know, he wrote to Ephesus, he wrote to Smyrna, he wrote to Thyatira, he wrote to Pergamos, he wrote to Smyrna, he wrote to Philadelphia, he wrote to Laodicea, all these churches. For every one of them, when Jesus would, you know, come to them, there was always, you know, a declaration and an analysis, you know, a weighing of their works. He would start out, for instance, to the church of Ephesus, I know thy works. This is Revelation 2 and verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, you know, and these people, they, you know, they knew how to try the false apostles and they found them liars. Well, people need to take a cue from that today. Try the so-called false prophets and by the word of God, there's a lot of those today, you know, parading themselves, you know, and speaking presumptuously from their hearts, which God has not even sent them. But people are falling for these things because they don't have discernment. Or they don't know how to walk in discerning of spirits. There's a room also we did on that a couple of weeks ago called discernment and discerning of spirits. You can listen to that. Now, but that's not my subject today. But these people, you know, in this particular church of Ephesus, they fell from their first love. They did a lot of things right, but they fell from their first love. And Jesus said, look, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Why? Because in verse 4, he said, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. You've done all these other great things. You know, you're able to detect false apostles and so on. But you've left your first love. Now, what is your first love? You that are listening to me today. What is your first love that you may have left? There were, you know, probably, you know, when you first received the Lord, nobody could shut you up and all that. We spoke about that a couple of days ago in this room as well. You know, maybe all the things and so forth. You know, but maybe today, you know, you've eased off on that. You no longer even give a witness for Christ. You're no longer excited about the things of God like you used to be. You know, and all the things that used to excite you, your first love, it's all gone. So Jesus began to tell them, look, remember where you are falling and repent and do the first works. Or else, see, I will come unto thee quickly and I will remove your candlestick from out of his place, except thou repent. You know, and then You know, but if you do repent, here's what he said. And if you do overcome all these things, you know, and go back and do the first works again, here's what he said. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden, I mean the paradise of God. Now, Adam lost the right to eat of that tree during the fall. I mean, because of the fall. He hadn't put forth his hand yet. You know, I mean, in our imp after the fall, and he was in that state of knowledge of good and evil, if he had eaten of the tree of life again after that, then there would have been no redemption. Because he would have lived forever in a dead state. So God cut it off, you know, and then he said, look, lest they put their hand off into the tree of life, you send them out. God had a plan. But if you overcome, you know, now this is a deep subject. Why do we need the tree of life? I cannot go into that today. But people don't know that, you know, there's actually a tree of life. But if you overcome, you will have right to the tree of life. That's for the promise to the church of Ephesus. And they had to, for them, their own particular case, what they had to overcome was the lethargy, the apathy, the, you know, the little slumber, a little folding of the arms. Even Paul wrote to them as well about this thing. Paul wrote to them in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14. This was the same Ephesus that Paul wrote to. He said, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Ephesians 5 and 14. To the same group of people. Then Jesus said, look, you know, you have gotten cold. You've lost your first fire. You need to go back to it. But if you overcome that, you have a right to the tree of life. That is so amazing. Now let's look at Revelation 2:11. In this same chapter, now he's talking to Smyrna, you know, and Smyrna, he had all kinds of, you know, things for them. You know, in that group, there was blasphemy, there were people, the synagogue of Satan, all these things and so forth. But they suffered. I mean, he said, I knew your works, your tribulation, your poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews, but they are not. They're a synagogue of Satan. And for none of, you know, say, fear none of those things in which thou shalt suffer. The devil will cast you into prison. You'll be tried. You'll be in tribulation. You'll be do this and that, you know. But he said unto them, look, if you overcome, you will not be hurt of the second death. Praise the Lord. Now, he didn't have too much of any rebuke for these particular people in Smyrna. Didn't have a lot of rebuke for them. He just gave them encouragement. You know, look, even though you think you're poor, you're actually rich. He told them, you know, I know you're suffering. I know all of these things and you're going to suffer even more. The devil is going to do all these things to you and so forth. But, you know, you got to stand faithful to death and I will give you a crown of life. You know, Revelation 2:10, a crown of life is promised and also you will not be hurt of the second death. Powerful promises. Let's look at verse 17 of the same chapter. Now, so we've seen what he's already talked to two of those churches. Let's look at Pergamos. Now, Pergamos is the next one. And for Pergamos, oh, I know thy works where thou dwellest. Satan's seat is there. And thou that holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. And all the things that Antipas who suffered, you know, and all that. But I have a few things against you. Well, he didn't have anything against Smyrna. But he had something against Ephesus. He had something against these people here. I have a few things against you. Because you allowed the doctrine of Balaam, which taught Balak to cast a stumbling block and all that. I mean, you also hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. This thing has become a doctrine now. The first time with these people in Ephesus, it was the deeds of the Nicolaitans that they were allowing. And Jesus said, I hate that. Now, that's become a doctrine in this place. And he said, but repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. You know, but if you overcome, I will give you the right to eat of the hidden manna. Woo! and I will give you a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no one knows it, except he that receives him. And that's a promise of a new name. My goodness. The Lord has a new name for you if you overcome. Whatever the significance of that, you know, that white stone and the name written in it, that's a topic for another day. But it's a promise nonetheless. Now let's go on to, Revelation 20. In this same chapter, Revelation 22, let's look at verse 26. He's going to go on and talk to them in Thyatira. He said, look, you know, there are many things that you must do, but you've got to hold fast until I come. There are some things which he said to them. You know, this is the place where the other day I was talking about, you know, people thought that, you know, God doesn't judge his church and he doesn't speak evil. God only speaks comfortably. Oh, you know, comfort ye, my people. Prophecies for exhortation and for comfort and for admonition and all these things and exhortation. That's all good. But you need to listen to how Jesus, you know, come against his church here. You know, he said, look, to the church in Thyatira, right, this thing said the Son of God, like his eyes are a flame of fire. Feet are with fine brass. You know, he's not messing around now when you see those flame of fire. Now, I know your works and your charity, your service and your faith and your patience and your works. Mention their works twice. You know, the last is even more than first. These people are even improving. Their works at last is better than first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you because you suffer that woman Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Well, what else are we suffering today? We're suffering all these people that call themselves prophets, prophetesses. Jesus hates this thing. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication and she repented on. Now listen to this. I will cast her into a bed. And then that for me commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of that. And I will kill her children with death. My goodness. You ever heard Jesus speak like that? I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am God that searcheth the heart of, the reins and the hearts, and I will give to every man according to your works. You say Jesus can't speak like fire like that? Well, read this again. I will kill her children with death. I will cast her into a bed of affliction. And he's not messing around now. He's got the eyes of fire. You know, but at the end of the day, he always has a promise. If they can pull themselves together and get out of all that mess, and if they overcome, he said, the things that you have, hold fast until I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words to the end, I will give them power over the nations. Power over the nations. Shall rule them with a rod of iron. Break them like a, you know, potter's vessel and so forth. And I will also give him the morning. I will give him the morning star. Some people call Venus the morning star. I don't know. You know, I will give him the morning star. What does Jesus have in store for that? That's something else for another day. Wow. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3. Fast forward to the next chapter. You know, he talked to Sardis. Sardis was one or another church that Jesus didn't care too much about. Because, you know, he said, look, thou hast a name that thou livest, but you are dead. You know, he talked about this already, you know, maybe two or three days ago. You know, they are carrying on. They look like they got something going on, but it's all hypocrisy. They're dead, really. You know, whited sepulchres, but inside dead man's bones. Jesus said, you know, you are hypocrites. I mean, this only look like they have a name that thou livest, you know, a big brother, a big prophet, a this and that, but no, inside dead. And you know, Jesus said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Now, my goodness, this is a big rebuke for this particular church. You know, said, better go back to the things which you have heard and received and hold fast and repent. Now, if thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and you will not know the hour in which I will come. But he that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment. Always there is a promise. Despite the rebuke, there's an admonition, and then there is a promise and a reward for the overcomers. If you overcome, my goodness, he said, they that overcome, what will happen to them? You know, a lot of things here. He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name. Now, we see some secrets here that are revealed throughout this book. So we see, I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear. So even by Jesus saying this, we see that there are some names that will be blotted out. Some people don't think that that's, you know, possible or that's in the Bible. Well, it is in the Bible. Your names, you know, people's names can be blotted out. And I pray that none of us who are here will have our names blotted out. It's not for you. That's not your portion. Your portion is for your name to remain there and for Jesus to confess your name before his Father and his angel. But some people will have their names blotted out for whatever reason. You know, there is a reason why their names may be blotted out. But for those that overcome here, there's a promise that their names will not be blotted out. And then he talked to the church in Philadelphia. This was another church he had no rebuke for. He just, all he did was praise. I know thy works, and I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. You have a little strength, but you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. And I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, there are some of them mixed up in there, but it wasn't really a rebuke. He just told them, you know, I will make them come, you know, and worship before your feet. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation. My goodness. You know, that will come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Almost sounds like, you know, Jesus coming for the saints in the rapture. Behold, I come quickly. Hallelujah. Hold that fast which thou hast, that let no man take your crown. If you overcome and keep his works till the end, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. And you will go no more out. I write upon you the name of my God. My goodness. You know, Satan will write upon the heads of his, you know, people, but God will have write upon his own people too. Satan marks his own. God marks his own. I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of my city of my God, New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven. I will write upon him my new name. Will Jesus have a new name? Yes. Will you get a new name written on a white stone? Yes. If we overcome. I mean, all these things are there. And then finally, to the church of the Laodicea. This church, I'm rich, I increase with goods. I have need of nothing. It sounds like today, you know, it's all commercialized. You know, it's all after, you know, money and all these things. You know, Jesus said, look, you don't even know that you are poor. This was the one where I also said, you are lukewarm. I will spew you out of my mouth. I want you to either be hot or be cold, but because you are lukewarm, and you are neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. And look at all these things. Right? Horrible five things he said about this church here. You are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. But you think you are rich and increased with goods. I counsel you to try, you know, buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed. The shame of your nakedness appear not. And anoint your eyes with eyes of that you may see. As many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. That's right. Jesus does that too. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him and he with me. And to him that overcometh, despite all of this evil that is in this church, this is one of the most amazing promises that he gave throughout all these overcomers' rewards. If you overcome, I will grant you to sit with me in my throne. Glory to God. Even as I overcame, and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. So, you know, the capstone of these overcomers' rewards is to sit with Christ in his throne. To him that overcometh, the reward will be that he will sit with me in my throne, because I also overcame and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. My goodness. Father, I pray. That's the end of my delivery today. I pray over this room that this teaching and exposition about rewards that we have heard today, that we will take to heart all the rewards that God has promised for all the great things that we do in his name, and for all the little things that we do in his name, for all the times that we help the poor that we do in his name, for all the times we stay in prayer that we do in his name, for all the times we pray right and fast right and give alms right that we do in his name, all the rewards that he has promised, may we have an understanding today and to walk according to what the word of God has commanded us to, that we may receive the recompense of the reward. And he that doeth evil also, there's a warning that they will also receive their own reward, for there is no respect of persons. Father, we pray, Lord, that the lesson and the caution of retribution for evil will cause many, to awake from unrighteousness and turn to righteousness, so that they may not receive the retribution from the one whose eyes are like a flame of fire. But Lord, for those of us that are following you and desire to follow you, according as you have said, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily, and to follow you, and there's a set of tremendous rewards that you have mentioned here for us throughout this Bible. May we strive to want to attain to the goal of the overcomer, so that we can receive these precious promises and these rewards. Father, we thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be strengthened, even in things we do for the poor. The Bible says that, look, when you have pity on the poor, considering the poor and so forth, the Lord, there's a tremendous reward, as we read in Psalm 41, that the Lord will have for you. And all the things that we do in keeping the word of God, there are tremendous rewards for all these things. And may the Lord, explain this, the Holy Spirit explain even deeper to us, so that we may have a closer walk with God and be encouraged. And don't give up and don't give in. You must endure to the end. And according to the words of the Bible in Galatians 6 and 9, keep the good works till the end, and in due season, as you keep doing good works and be not weary in well-doing, he said, in due season you will receive the reward if you faint not. Father, we thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let our walks, O Lord, be such that will, attract good rewards. Whatever we do for the Lord, if we do with a heart of sincerity for you, I promise good rewards. And may we be motivated. We're trying to provoke people onto good works here. May we be motivated for good works, knowing that of the Lord we shall receive the reward. May everything we do, according as the scripture has commanded us, whatever you do in word or deed or whatever, do it to the glory of God, not as unto men. For knowing that from the Lord you shall receive the reward. We thank you, Father, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.